Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Global Outreach Mission. Today, our scripture reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52, which say, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." What a great promise this is. It's a promise for those of us who have loved ones who have passed on, knowing that their bodies are in the grave now, but at some point in the future, they will be raised with a new resurrection body and will continue to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those of us who are on earth, when the Lord returns, we will be instantly changed. As fast as you can blink your eye, we will all be changed and have resurrection bodies when Christ returns. What a great privilege that will be, and what a great honor that it will be, and it's something for all of us to look forward to. So it doesn't matter what happens to us so much here on life, whether it's good or really, really bad, whether we get sick or whatever our fortunes are in the future, the point is that we all have a bright future. We're going to have a resurrection body, and we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all kinds of new capabilities that we don't have here on earth. What a great blessing, and what a great promise that is. This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Peter and Valerie Limmer, who are missionaries serving in Japan. God is using them greatly in the island of Okinawa. I had the privilege of visiting them there and seeing their ministry, and boy, it's really exciting to see how God is helping them to reach a very difficult people group. Today they're going to tell us about some of the ministry outreaches that they have.
So this story relates to an older friend of ours at the church that we're working at. And my parents happened to be in town. They were visiting us for a couple of weeks, and it was very wonderful to have them there. And so we were all sitting after church around a table. So my family with all the people from the church, this older gentleman comes around with a pot of coffee. And he asked my father if he wanted some coffee in Japanese. And my father doesn't understand Japanese. So I wasn't thinking very culturally appropriate. I was thinking more Canadian. And so I just looked at him and I said, no, thank you. My father doesn't drink coffee. Well, later on that evening when Val and I were alone, Val says to me, you know, you shouldn't have said no, because it's not culturally appropriate to say no. And I realized that I had made an error culturally, and I had possibly could have offended him quite badly by saying no. And so the Sunday after, there was one of our friends, his English is very good, so I asked him to help me translate so I wouldn't make as many mistakes.
Compound the error.
And I apologized. After I had apologized, he put on a big smile and he said, oh, don't worry about it. That's not a problem. And he looked at me, says, but I do have a question. And I was wondering if you would be willing to help me out with being a crossing guard for one of the local schools. And so we looked at our schedule and it worked out perfectly because it was in the morning. And so I was able to go and do that first thing in the morning. I'm not a morning person, so I'd come back and have a nap and then get to work.
Now, I just want to interject something here. In Japan, if someone asks you for a favor, this is actually a big honor because they're coming to you to ask you for a favor. And favors are the kind of the glue that hold the Japanese society together. And so when you ask someone for a favor, you are essentially also communicating that you want to deepen your relationship through this request so that your relational bonds will, through favors, will be more tightly...
Will grow.
Yes, will grow. Sorry. There's actually a name for the emotion that a Japanese person will feel when they are asked a favor by a friend. And that Japanese emotion is called amae. And it basically means the happiness that you experience by being asked a favor, by being chosen specially by one of your friends to carry out this favor.
So it was a really amazing opportunity and a real blessing to be asked. And so I did that for a while and it was a lot of fun. And as our time in Japan was drawing to a close, the school realized that we were going back to Canada for a year. And as a gift, they gave me, they don't use stop signs for their crosswalks. They use a little flag. And so they gave me a flag and they said, oh, you can take this to Canada and show people who you're going to be visiting with, what you've been doing. But the more incredible thing, the thing that God went way above and beyond that I had no idea was going to happen, was he's opened the door to go into the school to teach English.
Wow.
And it'll be just to go in and help the students as they're learning to read and write and speak a little bit. What we're hoping will happen is that we'll have the opportunity to ask the principal if we can invite the kids to our English class on Saturdays, and that they'll be able to come and have conversational English, which the school system isn't very strong on. And if we can have that opportunity to fight them out, who knows how God's going to use that. But what an amazing door to be opened to a local public school in our area.
The English classes that Peter and I hold on Saturdays are actually held in the church. And that is an amazing opportunity we've discovered to bring people into the church. Churches are really scary for Japanese people. And so even coming in for something as simple as an English class ends up breaking down a lot of the barriers to coming back to hear about Jesus later on. And we've seen a lot of success actually through the little children bringing their parents into the churches and people becoming Christians through this.
Thank you so much for some of these cultural differences that we wouldn't even think about in North America. And yet you've had to look at the culture and see how people act and react there. And you've been able to understand and actually apply these things to your own ministry and your own lives. And I'm really thankful for your sensitivity towards that and all the open doors that God has been given to you. After 4 years, you're doing a tremendous job. We're really thankful for you. Lord bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is the new year with new possibilities, and we have a tremendous pamphlet that we would like to put in your hand. It's called Kings and Prophets. This pamphlet lays out all the kings of Israel, from Saul through Zedekiah. It has all the prophets in the Old Testament listed. See, it talks about the reign of each king, the evaluation, whether they're a good king according to God's standards or not. It talks about how they died and also the scriptures that actually pertain to this particular king. And then it has a summary of their life. And it's really a great help. In the meantime, it's got a timeline which has all the dates on it with the kings and how they reigned and how they overlapped with the prophets. And it's a very handy guide for the Bible. And if that's not enough, we also have maps at the end which talk about all the different places that these kings and prophets actually lived and ministered in. It's something that could be very helpful to your Bible study to help you to grow in your faith. As you're aware, this is a listener-supported program, and we cannot continue on the air without your help and without the support of our listeners. We're so thankful for those who do write in and send in a donation. We appreciate that very much. A lot of folks who are remembering us in their will, and this has been a great source of keeping this broadcast on the air for well over 90 years now. And so we're so thankful for our donors and those who write in with prayer requests. Our staff does pray, and we trust that God will continue to work in your life as well. This month, we are offering this timeline, The Kings and Prophets. Be sure to write in and get your copy. I know it'll be a great blessing to you. To order your copy, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave Himself for man to die that He might man redeem. Oh, blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
I once was lost, but now.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Precious name,
oh how sweet,
hope of earth and joy. Blessed be the name of Christ the Lord.
Today's message is from Reverend George Francisco and is entitled, The Prodigal Son. I know you enjoy this message very much. Printed copies are available upon request.
Today our talk will be taken from the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Now, many Christians will know that Luke 15 contains three parables, two of which are very well known. The first is the parable of the lost sheep. This well-known story, for that is what a parable is, an earthly story with a heavenly teaching. It has touched the hearts of people around the world. The second story or parable is less well-known, called the parable of the lost coin. A woman had 10 pieces of silver, lost one, and immediately takes a candle and a broom and cleans the house till she finds it. The third parable is one of the greatest stories ever told. It's been called the Prince of Parables, and it's the story called the Prodigal Son. There are important themes common to all these parables. The first is that there were things that were lost, the sheep, the coin, and the son. Then there were things that were all found. And then there was great rejoicing at the end of each story. Perhaps you could read this chapter later today and discover other common themes as well. Now, the story of the prodigal son is found in Luke 15, beginning in verse 11. And Jesus said, A certain man had two sons, And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread and enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, Jesus told stories to capture the attention of the listener and to teach spiritual truth in a way easy to remember. Undoubtedly, the father in the story represents God, the Heavenly Father, the great owner of all who is wealthy and righteous. The prodigal son? Well, I'm sure that there are several layers of truth here, if we may call it that. First, we can see the immaturity of a youth, feeling the constraints of even a good home, but casting them off in an idealistic search for personal gratification through sinful living. The family of reality, or the famine of reality, is coming, and it came. And the youth, disillusioned as he was, begins to return to the foundations of God, home, and righteous living. Happy are the prodigals who do this. Then secondly, Jesus surely had the spiritual condition of Israel in mind, for at this time they were far, far from God's purposes and will. If they would only see the hypocrisy and the spiritual bankruptcy that they were descending into, a religion without reality, and if they would only repent, what sorrow they could have avoided and what blessings they could have enjoyed. Alas, they remained prodigals, crucifying later the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus, and they suffered the famine of righteous judgment. Then, of course, all mankind is essentially a prodigal, rebelling against God and choosing sinful ways instead of God's way. Isaiah 53:6 sums it up, saying this, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. The cross was planned for prodigals, and only at the foot of the cross can you find forgiveness, cleansing, and a new life that only God can give. If you've never made your way to the cross and to the Savior who died for you, will you not arise now and go to that Heavenly Father who is waiting to forgive and to cleanse you? Now, the parable has been called the prodigal son, and as a result, most emphasis has been on the waywardness of the son, his loss of everything, his reappraisal of things that he had rejected, and his restoration, all of which are truly gratifying and commendable. But what if the parable had been called the compassionate father? Then perhaps more attention would be given to discovering the wealth of the father's character that is revealed through this parable. Now remember, the father in the story represents God, the Heavenly Father. If you have ever asked, what is God really like? Then you can discover from this parable that Jesus told some wonderful answers to that question. First, we see the graciousness of our Heavenly Father. Graciousness means benevolence or goodness, kindness, tenderness, condescension, and gentleness. Do these words come to mind when you think of God? Jesus is saying the Heavenly Father is gracious. When the boy asked his father to give him his portion of the inheritance, it would be like a slap in the face to any Jewish father of the day. It's like saying, I can't wait until you die. I want what's mine and I want it now. How horribly insolent, and what disrespect it showed. No Jewish father would tolerate such an attitude and request. But the boy's father, although surely deeply hurt, was so very gracious. No anger, no tirade, no blaming him, no bawling him out. Verse 12 simply says, and he divided unto them his living. Graciousness with condescension. God, the Heavenly Father, is gracious. Jesus is saying this. He will not make you go his way if you don't want to. He's not going to make you go to his heaven and live there forever. If you, like a wild horse, want to resist that bit and bridle and go on your own, you can have free rein. Run as hard, as far, as fast as you want. Eventually, you will have to stop. Eventually, the famine comes. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Galatians 6 and 7. Foolish is the person who stubbornly resists the gracious working of God until it's forever too late, that is, after death. For it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him. And so the father was looking for him, every day looking and waiting. Every day scanning the horizon and looking and waiting. This means the father was thinking about the wayward boy, the one who was far away from God and wasting his substance and his life. God is thinking about you. And what are his thoughts toward us? Jeremiah 29 and 11, God says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Isn't that beautiful? King David knew about God's thoughts, and he wrote in Psalm 139:17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Think of that. The great Heavenly Father thinks about us in our waywardness and in our returning. He is never too busy or occupied and sees us long before we are able to see him. Then verse 20 goes on to say, the father ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. This means the father was quick to welcome the son. He ran to the wayward one with open arms of welcome. No fear of being rejected, no fear of being made to wait and to suffer prolonged humiliation as a normal Jewish father would have done in such a case. No, the father was quick to welcome, quick to forgive, quick to assure him of his love and acceptance. Jesus is saying, no matter what you have thought before about God, he's really like this father in the parable. You don't need to be afraid to come to him. He is gracious, thoughtful about you, quick to welcome, forgive, and to restore. The kiss expressed deep, abiding love for the wayward one. Scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. God's word assures us of his welcoming and eternal love. Then notice, the father, who had already given the boy his portion of inheritance, still gives more. Verse 22, the father says, bring forth the best robe. The prodigal's old, worn, filthy garments are to be exchanged for a perfect, beautiful robe of righteousness. Then it says, put a ring on his hand. The ring is a sign of affection and relationship. The wayward one has now been restored to a right relationship to the father and to the family. The older brother, which we don't have time to discuss, couldn't understand that those whom the father has forgiven are to be restored and forgiven by other members of the family as well. Then the father says, put shoes on his feet. The boy was interrupted when he was going to confess to the father, and he only wanted to be a servant. But that's not what the father had in mind. He had so much more than the boy could have ever thought. No menial slaving and trying to make up for all his mistakes. That's not the father's desire. The ring, the robe, and the shoes all witness to a full and complete restoration of the boy to sonship. He is to be regarded not as a lowly servant, but as a son, beloved of the father. Can this be true? To be lifted up from the pig pen, to sit in fellowship and honor with the heavenly Father, God? Every believer who has left his waywardness and received Christ will know the joy and blessedness that the prodigal experienced. For Ephesians 2 and 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, the future is bright. Our place is reserved in heaven, all because God's only begotten Son, Jesus, came to suffer and die to pay the price for sinners on the cross. Scripture tells us that God is a loving God, that he is a compassionate God, and from this parable we have seen Jesus indicate this no less. And Jesus tells us that we can trust him and give our lives fully to him. Paul said in Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. May a few of these thoughts encourage us to know and understand our Heavenly Father and truly worship him in the days ahead.
I know the message you just heard was very inspiring, and here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we are so thankful for all the believers who do listen to us and write in and help us with finances. We're also thankful for those who share prayer requests with us, and here at the home office, we pray for each request that does come in. But we're also concerned about those who may be hearing this broadcast without a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that there's a broad way to destruction, but only a narrow way to heaven, and the narrow way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but through me. So you need to have a relationship with Christ. You need a Savior. We're all sinners. We've all done wrong things. And the only way for those sins to be taken care of, the Bible calls have those sins appeased, is by putting our faith in Christ, because Christ was a great gift. And he went to the cross and bore your sins, and he bore my sins in his own body as he hung between heaven and earth. He died and he rose again on the third day, and he's alive. And he's right there with you as you listen to this broadcast. And right now you have the opportunity to bow your head, confess your sin to Christ, ask for your forgiveness, and receive him. Ask him to come into your life. But as many as receive him, unto them gave he the right to become the children of God. You become a child of God. The Bible says all things become new. So we ask you to bow your head and ask Christ to come into your life. Don't forget to order your copy of The Kings and Prophets. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. You can also listen to past broadcasts at our website at missiongo.org, missiongo.org, and please continue to remember us in your prayers. May the Lord bless you throughout this next week.